I'll also be bringing you scripture reading this morning. The title of the lesson this morning is One Sin. And I'll be reading from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. That is Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. I'll also be reading from King James Version. If you have it, say amen. Amen. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? That was Romans 6, 1 and 2. May the Lord have a blessing on the hearers as well as the doers of his word.
Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. Amen. I want to say good morning to the congregation. It's a blessing to be back home. I find myself clicking my heels, and I'm happy to be back home. It's always good to take a little break. We did the anniversary thing, celebrated our 33rd wedding anniversary. 33 years of this lady putting up with me, and I thank God for that. Amen. Thanks for your prayers and all that you have done for me and for my family as we served God together in his presence. You know, book of Romans chapter 3 and chapter 6 tells us that we all have a propensity to sin. We do. We all do sin and fall short of God's glory. It's just who we are. The proverbial writer in Proverbs chapter 3 said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him in all of your ways, not somebody else's ways. We all want to adopt what somebody else is doing. But he says, in your ways, in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. And if you do that, this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. You know, we have a subtlety in this life that we live is so subtle and yet so popular among God's people, is one sin that we just will not let go. And some people will die, and even after being freed from its bondage, from the bondage of that sin, some will plead with God, but it will be to no avail. This subtle sin, this sin called disobedience, continues to plague mankind over and over and over again. This subtle sin of disobedience continues its prevalence in our lives each and every day, whether we're in the church or out of the church. Now, who thinks about sin and how egregious it is and which sin is worse than the other sin? Who goes around thinking about that? Sometimes we do, because sometimes we don't want to sin as much as the other fella. I mean, who would have thought that growing up and taking a couple of dimes out of your mom's purse and buying the Snickers is stealing from your mother? We don't consider that stealing from our mother, but who would have thought that stealing from your mother is a form of disobedience? Judges chapter 17, listen to this. I want to frame this for you this morning, because we need you just to get this, all right? Judges chapter 17, verses 1 through 6, the Bible says these words. Now a man named Micah from the hill country of Ephraim said to his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you and about which I have heard you utter a curse, I have that silver with me. I took it. Stealing from his mother. I took it. Then his mother said, the Lord bless you, my son. When he returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, he said, I solemnly consecrate my silver to the Lord for my son to make an image overlaid with silver. I'm going to give that money back to you. You stole it, but I'm going to give it back to you. So after he He returned the silver to his mother. She took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to a silversmith who used it to make an idol. And it was put in Micah's house. Now this man, Micah had a shrine, and he made an ephod and some household gods and installed one of his sons as his priest. And here's what it says. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So he thought it was right to even steal from his mother. And that's some low down dirty stuff right there. Stealing from your mom. Again, one of the saddest verses in the scripture also appears in Judges chapter 21 and verse number 25. And it says that again, in those days there was no king. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. And this appears as a result of the Israelites fighting against the Benjaminites. Because the people in Benjamin, they didn't have any wives, and they were protesting against the congregation of Israel, so they went to battle against each other. And they fought three battles. The first two battles, the Benjamites beat them just pitifully. But the third battle, the Lord says, go up against your brother again. I'm going to turn him over into your hands. And they beat Benjamin so bad, Benjamin had no inheritance left whatsoever. And the congregation of Israel decided, we're just not going to give our wives to them either. And then they repented of that and says, you know, no tribe from the 12 tribes of Israel should be left out. But we still can't give our wives some because we promised that. So what we're going to do is go to Bethlehem, Judah. And we're going to have them to take wives of the virgins that are there, that the inheritance might continue. But we can't give them our wives. Look at the ones that come out and do the dancing. And from those that come out dancing, you take the virgins for your wives because we will not give you our wives. Even though you're our brothers and sisters, we won't give it to you. And the story ends that they take these virgins and Benjamin marries those virgins. And the Israelites and the tribe of Benjamin become one again in God. And the story ends, it says, in those days, there was no king. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Is there a king today for us? Those of us who would just commit sin because there's no king. The king isn't in our lives. He's present, but we're not aware of his presence because we've walked away from the king. And every man does what's right in his own eyes, in the church and out of the church. And Jesus says in Luke 6, 46 and 47, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever comes to me and hear my sayings and doeth them, I will show him who he is like. One sin, one disobedience. It reminds me of the book of Numbers, chapter 20, verses 1 through 13. I want to read that in your hearing. Numbers 20, verses 1 through 13. It's about a man that we all familiar with. It's about a man who he committed this one sin as well, this one sin of disobedience. Sin of disobedience. Numbers chapter 20, verses 1 through 13. It's a story about a man by the name of Moses. And Moses is a man that has served God all of his life. And we find Moses in the midst of a desert. It says in the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Sin, and they stayed at Kadesh. There Miriam died and was buried. There was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, if we had only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord, why did you bring us into this wilderness that we and our livestock should die? Why did you bring us out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates, and there's no water to drink. Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell face down. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron, gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes and it will pour out its water. Speak to that rock. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded them. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and the livestock drank water. So Moses was in the wilderness, distressed, because of the complaining from the people that he led out of Egypt, God's people. Moses was God's man, and all they ever did was complain. So Moses asked God for help. And the Lord said to Moses that he should speak to the rock, and the water would come forth. And in his pride and anger, Moses struck the white rock twice with his rod. But God caused the water to flow anyway. But he charged Moses with disobedience, this subtle sin that we just can't see. Why was he charged with the subtle sin of disobedience? Because God says, you're going to speak to the rock, and water's going to gush from the rock, that the people might see that I am holy. Every time we disobey God and there are people in our presence, we do not show forth the great riches and the sacrifice that God has given to us in Christ Jesus, because we do not present God as holy in the presence of men. Numbers 27, 12 through 15 says this. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go up to this mountain of Abiram and see the land which I have given to the sons of Israel. When you have seen it, you too will be gathered to your people, as Aaron your brother was. For in the wilderness of Zin, during the strife of the congregation, you rebelled against my command to treat me as holy before the eyes at the water. These waters of Meribah and Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. You rebelled against my command to treat me as holy before their eyes at the water." Disobedience against a holy God is rebellion. After having led the people for 40 years in the wilderness, after bringing them to the point of entering the promised land, a land that had waited for so long, Moses told by God, "You go to the top of this mountain and I'm gonna let you look. I'm gonna let you see the land that these people are to go into, but you are not going to go." Because of one sin, God tells Moses, "You will not enter the promised land with this people." This one sin that he committed earlier in the desert, couldn't go in. I want you to understand, let me reiterate this. Because of this one sin, Moses was prevented from entering the promised land. 40 years of just walking with God's people and listening day after day after day to complaint after complaint after complaint. He led them for 40 years. He was one of the greatest Jewish leaders ever. He received the Ten Commandments. He interceded for God's people time and time again. God, just don't kill him. Spare him. But because of this one transgression, he didn't enter in. I need you to get that. Because of this one sin, he didn't enter in. At the end of his life, all that he had did, all the things that he had strived for, that he might reach the promised land, at the very end of his journey, you know, there are going to be some of us who are going to live this life, and we're going to find ourselves not inheriting the promised land. For whatever reason it is, you know, but I don't know. But it's about sin. And because of sin, you won't enter in. You see, God is just so holy that even one sin will keep you out of his presence. One sin. The promised land was symbolic of heaven to us even today, and we're all striving to get there. We've been on our journey for a long time. But this episode shows us that God will not tolerate sin in his presence. He's going to receive only those who are sinless because of his son, Jesus Christ, into the promised land of heaven. But what we don't understand and why the sin is so prevalent in our lives is because we don't think there's such a thing. I mean, we think that there's such a thing as a small sin and they're harmless sins. We've conditioned our minds to say, you know, it's just a small lie and a big lie and blown out of proportion. It's just a little lie. But there's no such thing as a small sin or a harmless sin. Moses didn't rape or murder innocent children. He didn't do any of that. He tapped the rock instead of speaking to it. And yet God denied him entrance because of that. What God hates is all form of sin. No type of sin is less despicable than the other. And no type of sin is tolerable in God's sight. Sometimes we feel like we're coming close to heaven. But coming close to heaven is not good enough. When has coming close been good enough? You know, we had a picnic. I ain't gonna talk about them horseshoes. Some people came close. Moses came close, and he was on the border looking over into the land of promise. He could actually see the land, see everything in front of him, but he couldn't go in. He was a nice guy, but being a nice guy and being a moral person and doing your best will only get you close to heaven. Moses was all of these things, you see. He was one of the most humble people in the world, the Bible tells us. But one sin kept him out of the promised land, and nothing can change that. Nothing. And just like Moses, just like the children of Israel, we are on a long journey. And our journey is through this wilderness of life on this earth. Our journey is enduring hardships. Our journey is enduring dangers. Our journey is filled with struggles every waking moment of our lives. And like Moses and the Jews, all we want to do is arrive at and enter into the promised land of heaven. That's all we want to do. We want to just get there. And not just get there, we want to go in. We tell a lot of stories about Peter at the gate, don't we? The gate is not good enough for us. We don't want to just get close enough. We want to be able to go in. My question is this. What sin is going to keep you out? Which one is going to keep you out of the promised land of God? For many of us, it'll be a sin of disobedience. The one that we are prevalent to continue in our lives. For many, they will not obey the gospel of Christ in order to be saved. They're just going to sit on their thumbs and allow life to pass them by outside of Christ. They'll continue to put it off. They think that they're okay and they don't need to obey the gospel. They're going to rely on their own religion or their own way of being saved. That is not biblical at all. It just comes close enough, but they're not there. And in the end, they'll be disobedient as well. They're going to refuse simply to confess Jesus. They're going to refuse to repent of their sins. They'll be refused to be baptized like Jesus commands them to be. And because of this disobedience, because of this one sin, they will not enter in. And for some, can't leave you out. Because a lot of people feel like they have their ticket punched already because they're Christians. The only difference between us being Christians and those that are not is that we are redeemed sinners. We all have a propensity to sin. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And for some of us, it'll be a sin of unfaithfulness. They've traveled down the heavenly land for years on end. Some people have been Christians for 10 years, some for 20 years, some for 30 years or more, and they still have nothing to show for it. They're just walking listlessly, groping in the dark, claiming to have Christ, but that one sin of disobedience. And they made up their minds that they're going to settle right there. They're not going to settle for the heavenly blessings that God offers us. They're going to stay right there. Because of their disobedience, they're going to get their wish. They're going to stay here and enjoy the pleasures and the rewards of this world. And they're going to do it for a while. But ultimately, in the end, all those things that they've enjoyed, all those treasures and all those riches, all those things they've accumulated all their lives will be destroyed along with them in the end. Which sin is it? Is it going to keep you out of heaven? Which sin is it that's going to keep you away from the home that God has prepared for you? Which sin is it that's going to keep you from being a faithful child of God? Which sin is it? You know there's one sin that you just can't seem to shake. The proverbial writer talks about secret sins. We all have our weaknesses and our faults, don't we? We all have some things that we just can't tell anybody else, but God knows about our secret sins. And God will bring every deed into the judgment and every secret thing, whether it's good or evil, he's going to bring it in. What is that one sin that you just refuse? I don't know. And God knows you can't know mine, but I'm so grateful that God puts up with me. Oh, you just can't know that. In all my anguish, and all my pain, and all my struggles, and all my hardships, and all my joy, and all my sorrow, and all my happiness, and everything that God has blessed me with, I'm grateful that God, I'm grateful, church. James says, show me faith without obedience. He says, faith without obedience is dead. I know you read it as faith without works is dead, but again, I ask you to just take the word works and place it with obedience and see what it gets you. Faith without obedience is dead within itself. Obedience is what God requires from each and every one of us. Samuel told Saul, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. We're not dealing with the fat of animals and goats and lambs. It's better to obey. I know my mom told me to do something, and I half did it. It was just as if I had not done it. Amen? I remember one night being woke up out of the bed with a stick being beaten. And covers were saving me just a little bit, but covers had to come off. Had to go get those clothes off the line. I forgot them clothes on the line. I know young people don't know about hanging clothes on the line. We had to hang clothes on the line when it was our turn, and you had to get them down before the sun went down, or to do. What sense it made to hang them up? You can't half obey God. You can't go through life with this propensity to sin when Jesus Christ has set you free, John 8:32. If the Christ sets you free, you're going to be free indeed. What is the one sin that's keeping you from going to heaven? You see, so subtle, yet so popular among God's people, is a sin that we just won't let go. And some of us are going to die even after being freed from the bondage of that sin, and we're going to plead with God, but to no avail. Here's another sad verse that I ran across in Scripture. You might be familiar with this one. Matthew chapter 7 says, not every man that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. How sad that is. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, he that is filled with obedience and not the propensity to sin, he's coming in. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, help me, Jesus. You ought to be saying it right now. But he says, many are going to say to me on that day, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And I will say to you, there was no obedience. You did what you wanted to do. There was no king in your hearts. Every man that was right in his own eyes, because you didn't acknowledge me as the king of your life. Stole from your mother. Lied to your brother. You made a mess in the mockery of the Lord's church. And you didn't ask for forgiveness. Disobedience was prevalent in your life, and you still want to come in? Listen, there's a lot of us that say the same thing from generation after generation after generation. Nobody's not coming in my house after midnight. And your kids come ring the doorbell at 2 o'clock. You cuss and fuss, but you let them in. That ain't heaven. Amen? Won't be no cussing and fussing. Once the door is shut, remember the story of the 10 virgins? Once the door is shut, it's up to us to be obedient and trim our lamps. Let's get our oil while we have life in our bodies. Let's get it, because the bridegroom is coming. He's coming to get us, those of us that are obedient. But some of us are too lazy spiritual to repent of our sins and allow the blood of Christ to forgive us. That one sin. Romans chapter 5, verse number 19 says, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 through 9 talks about the Christ. It says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that, here's the word, obey him. So salvation then is predicated on obedience. Salvation is predicated on obedience. Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents. It doesn't matter if you're 5 or if you're 50, children. You sometimes we get grown and we don't want to listen to what our parents have to say, right? Children, he doesn't put a stipulation on it. Children, if you're under 15, does it say that? We got some grown people who are disrespecting their parents every day, and they want to go to heaven, stealing from their mothers respect and dignity and honor of being their mother, stealing it. Some people don't respect their wives. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Obedience. One sin. Salvation is predicated on obedience. You know what your sin is? I don't know. But I am imploring you today to shake it and repent of it. Come to God. Come on, what are you waiting for? We're here for that reason. And if Christ busts that door wide open right now, how many will he find faithful? How many? We all want to go to heaven. We want to go. And we're on that journey there. Don't let one sin keep you out. Don't let it happen. I need you to stop your disobedience and hear God's word. John 6:45. I need you to stop your obedience and believe that Jesus the Christ, John 8:24. I need you to stop your disobedience and repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. I need you to stop your disobedience and confess Christ, Romans 10:9-10. I need you to stop your disobedience and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, Acts chapter 2, Romans chapter 6, Acts 22:16. Galatians 3, 26 and following, I need you to stop your disobedience. And don't let one sin keep you away from God. We've been allowing it. Look what's been happening this past week. You know what you've been doing? And some people run to the church and think they're going to be refreshed by just running into the church. Because you just went, you showed up. Again, just because I show up in the garage and live there don't make me a car. Don't let one sin keep you out of heaven. We all want to go, don't we? Let's get it and go. Let's repent of our sins. Let's be for God who has called us to be. Stop your unfaithfulness. Stop your spiritual laziness. Be restored to a right relationship with God. Confess your sins. Repair your sins, Christian. And pray that God will grant you forgiveness. He will. He will. We have a propensity for sin. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is a way which seems right unto man, but the ways thereof are the ends of death. Don't let one sin, especially the sin of disobedience, stop you from entering into heaven. Everybody goes to church to serve God for that express purpose of receiving that wonderful reward of heaven. What's it going to keep you from yours? What will it be? You don't have to allow it to keep you from that today. You can repent of your sins and be made to walk in the light with Christ once again. Have his precious blood continue to cleanse you from every last one of your sins. If you're not a Christian, stop sitting on your thumbs. Stop sitting and leaning on your own will. Why not give God a try? I mean, that's what you're coming here for, aren't you? Or you're just coming to be seen? Well, God sees you whether you come or not. I'm glad you came, and I wish that you would continue to come. But now you need to come to God, not just come to church, come to God. Allow God to save your very lives. And we can help you with the sin of disobedience. Why don't we come as we stand and sing God's invitation song?
When we walk with